is cruel. But that wasn't her world. She felt safe in Denmark, particularly in Jutland, and most especially here in Aarhus, where there was rarely more crime than a few assaults and rapes. That was bad enough, of course, but it didn't affect her little world in the house in Brabrand, protected by the high privet hedge. The news ended and dinner music took over. She hummed along to Care Lily Mamor by Richard Raunvel. Through the kitchen window, she saw her teenage daughter come running back. The rubbish bin at the front door had been overflowing. It hadn't been put out on the road the night before for the bin men to collect that morning, so she had asked Maria, who had only been hanging out in her room with her iPod, to run down to the skip with it. She didn't understand all the modern gear young girls needed today. It hadn't been like that with the other two, who had long since flown the coop. They hadn't meant to have more children, but then... Her gaze slid up towards the sky. It was going to rain again soon. Where had the sun gone this summer? Maria tumbled breathlessly into the kitchen without taking off her shoes.
Mum! Mum! There's something in the skip!
What? She turned off the radio, where a journalist had begun a debate with a politician.
A hand!
Her voice shook. My teenage daughter watches too many films, she thought with a smile, continuing to butter the rye bread for lunch. And she certainly doesn't lack imagination either. Is it not just a doll someone threw out?
No!
The girl was breathing heavily. She turned to her daughter, only now understanding something must be wrong. Maria's face was chalk white. Her eyes shone with a horror she hadn't seen before. She was still clutching the bag of rubbish, as if her hand had seized with cramp. Then she broke down in tears and dropped the bag onto the freshly washed kitchen floor. Desperate, she wiped her hands on her apron.
Oh, sweetheart, really? It can't be.
She quickly put on a jumper. Let's go down and find out what you think is a hand. Maria's entire body began to shake. Her mother made her sit on a chair at the kitchen table. She got a glass of cold water from the tap and put it in front of her daughter. Drink that. I'll be back in a moment.
No, Mum. Don't go down there. What if the killer's still there?
She smiled affectionately. Let's see what it is first. Still, on the way down to the skip, she felt uneasy, and her legs began to shake. If it were true, what would she do? She shook her head at the thought. Of course there wasn't a hand in the skip. The air was stifling and humid. She pulled her blouse away from her skin to cool down. The worn clogs she had hurriedly put on were having a hard time keeping up with her. The skip was a large, closed model. It was rusty now, but it had once been red. There were three hatches on the front. One was open. Maria had apparently fled without closing it again. She peered inside, and the lukewarm stink of decay greeted her. The flies buzzed. She caught sight of the hand, between some black bin bags and an old stained chair cushion. She held her breath, and her heart began to pound. Looked like a human hand. She looked around for something that could reach in there. She spotted a stick on the ground, which she picked up. It could just about reach the hand. She lifted it gently with the stick. With the movement, a black bag rolled over, revealing the entire arm, a shoulder, and a piece of white neck. In the light falling through the hatch, she could see the colour of the thin neck went from chalk white to bluish black. She didn't know where she had gathered the courage from, and she still didn't understand what it was she was looking at. It had all happened in a trance. Slowly, she lifted the stick again and pushed the cardboard box, covering the face. The box overturned. She watched it roll around a few times in a kind of slow motion, following it with her eyes before moving her gaze to the place it had been. She wanted to scream, but she couldn't. Her throat was constricted. A face had appeared.